which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is Pastor Mary here?
She's unable to come. We're going to do a moment of silence.
Okay. Please bow your head in a moment of silence and keep in your prayers, all of our first responders. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Council, you have in your packet the minutes for the August 9th meeting. I would like to point out that there should be a small correction in Mr. Town Manager's report on number 5. I know for a fact that Mark Nixon is not the Bike Committee Chairman. He's planning and zoning. It's just a small thing, but we probably want to correct that to say that the Planning and Zoning Commission met that night, and Mark Nixon was the chief. And that's the only small thing that I found. Does anybody on the council have any additions or corrections to last month's meeting?
No.
If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Do you have a motion?
I need a second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded, and we approve the August 9th meetings. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, minutes have passed. Now, the second set of minutes are a little unconventional, but I'm thinking it was an attempt by the transcriber to capture the essence of all of the points of interest during the presentations last Tuesday. But if anybody at the podium here tonight is uncomfortable with the format as it is, it's real easy. I can get Mr. Pollitt to direct the staff to reformat it, and we can approve those minutes the next month. But it's your call. They did cover everything. They didn't leave anything out. But the format to me was just a little unconventional. Again, not wrong, but different. And I was going to give you all the chance to go either way on that. Okay. All right. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the work session last Tuesday.
Motion to approve the minutes.
I'll take a second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We approve the minutes as written for the work session last Tuesday. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, minutes are approved. Thank you very much for your consideration on that. Okay. The treasurer's report. Yeah, I know you've had a chance probably to look at that. The one thing that stands out to me that I absolutely love is the total accounts receivable is a lot more than the payout on the other page. But are there any questions from the council on the treasurer's report?
No.
Okay. Anything you need to add about that, or are you good?
Nothing on the report. Just that there is the audit has begun and should be to us in December or presented. It should be finished by December, presented to us January, February.
Okay, great. I'll entertain a motion to approve the treasurer's report for this month.
You have
a
motion?
Okay, I need a second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the treasurer's report for this month. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the treasurer's report has been passed. All right, moving on to Mr. Pollitt, your report. Anything you want to highlight specifically?
I just make one note of an update since I wrote this on Friday afternoon on the Planning Commission. The first item, I mentioned that we had no word from Burley Oaks about their plans to go forward. Late Friday, I did get a text from Matt Burrier from Burley Oaks saying that he would give me a call on Monday, which I took as a positive in that he was probably still at the door. Haven't heard from him, though. He didn't call yesterday or today. Larissa reached out and called him herself and still haven't made contact, but okay. It's still on the table.
Okay, and we can talk a little bit more about that under old business, B, Section 2. All right, thank you. Anybody at the council have any questions for Mr. Pollitt at this point? Okay. All right, thank you. Lori, do you have anything to add or you want to highlight?
The only thing that I would add is that Harrison House Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, they're having their Community Day picnic on Friday, September 23rd from 1 to 4 p.m. Council and staff are invited. I will be sending forwarding that invitation to everybody. But it is a Community Day picnic, so I let them know that I can share that with everybody tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Any questions for Larissa? From anybody up here?
No.
All right, thank you. Code enforcement, Marty's not here. Do we have anything to add from Marty's report, Rick?
No, sir. We've had a couple of complaints, concerns come in the office. Some of them are represented here tonight. They have been forwarded. Marty's taking the appropriate action.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Let's move to Public Works. Randy?
Nothing this time, Mayor.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for Randy while he's here, Council?
No.
Yeah.
All right. Wastewater treatment. Russ is not here, but anything to add to that or talk about? Rick, any highlights?
Nothing more than what's in the report.
Dr. Bird.
Yes, I just have one thing to add and one thing to highlight. Dee Wood came into the museum, did an interview with us and some photographs. So she's a writer for Shoreholm and Garden Magazine. So I put a big giant stack of them back there. So if you grab one on your way out, we also shared it on our Facebook page on our website. So on pages 42 and 43, she did a big full two-page spread on the museum. So we're really pleased about that.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to mention our Fiber Fest is going to be a little different this year. Last year, it hit right during the sort of second wave of COVID panic, and so it was not as well attended as we would like to see. This year, the date that we have set has been happened to be the date that we've chosen for the new Seafood Festival, and there's just no way we're going to be able to compete with that. So we've had to sort of roll with it a little bit, and what we've decided to do is do our Fiber Fest during October's first Friday, so that we can have our two activities, our arts and crafts and our demonstrations at the same time. So we're just going to encourage people to continue moving on down to the end of Green Street and down to the museum and have a lot of fun things to do down there as well. So keep that in mind that it's going to be going on during first Friday so that we can add to the first Friday fun. So that's it for me.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Very good. And that article is great, by the way. Were you the one that left it in my mailbox? Somebody did.
Yeah, I put one in each mailbox in town hall, and then I brought a big stack here. There's one tiny factual error that, the alligator didn't burn down. There was a fire. It did technically burn, but the building is still there and still in use, as we all know. But I'm not going to nitpick with it because I was just so thrilled with the article. So other than that one tiny thing, it's just a really wonderful article, and I hope it brings in lots of visitors. So far, so good. Got people mentioning it when they come in.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you probably didn't know this, but we have a new chief. Oh. We have a gentleman standing in for the chief tonight. Have anything you want to highlight?
This is Chief is still out with COVID. I did talk to him yesterday, and he says he's feeling a little bit better, but it's probably going to be a few more days yet.
Okay. Any questions for the lieutenant while he's here?
No.
Okay, I want to make two quick comments. I'm still getting a few complaints about the trucks coming off of Bay Street uncovered. I'm not sure what the law is there. I know they have to be covered when they're full. I'm not sure about empty, but there are some people, and the chief and I have talked about it a little bit. They're getting better, but I have an advantage point where a friend of mine lives. I can look down into those trailers sometimes when they come by in the morning. So I don't know what the solution is or the answer is, but just to let you be aware that there are some people on Bay Street still a little upset about the dust and stuff. This is the time of year for corn, so we may not be able to fix that part of it today, but as the year goes through, maybe we can lean on those truck drivers to close those, close the top of those trailers when they come back through town. And then the other thing, I have this crosswalk thing. In Snow Hill, we never really got used to crosswalks, and we just stayed on the curb until everybody went by, and then we walked across the street. I know we have to come into the next century, and I know crosswalks are here for a reason. I'm getting better. I haven't run over anybody this year. I'm deathly afraid that when I stop, somebody's going to rear end me, and that will be a problem. But I still have a couple of people downtown that are a little frustrated with the trucks in particular not stopping when they get into the crosswalks. Again, when you've got a tractor and trailer coming around the corner and they're going through their gears, again, I'm not sure how we can actually stop that. I would just say let the truck go by and then cross, but it is a law, I guess. It's a regulation, and we just got to be mindful. We got to look at that in some way, and I don't even want to tell you how to do that. So, but they're the two things I want to bring. And in the public session, we can address this more if there's somebody in the audience that wants to talk about it. Okay, that's all I have. Fire department had a great meeting with the chief Friday, Rick Pollitt and I went out there. I think it's the last department head that I have to meet with in this new job that I have. And it was very informative, although I was a fireman at a time, and I'm very familiar with what they do. He was very gracious and told us a lot of good things. Do you have anything to add to your report, Chief?
Just thank you both for coming out to the meeting with us. And on August 29th, we did officially place our new engine in service, which should be serving the area for about 30 years.
Are you allowed to tell the audience how much that cost you?
Yes. So all in, including equipment, it cost us just shy of $700,000 for a brand new car.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, and it's only going to get more expensive as we go along. Any questions of the fire chief, Councilor?
Don't you have a big celebration coming up?
Yes, so in honor of our 125th anniversary, which is actually in October, we are hosting an open house on October 1st at our firehouse with vehicle education demos, things for the children to do, and we actually, if Maryland State Police Trooper 4 is not on the call, they're going to be landing at our firehouse and doing a demonstration of their apparatus as well. Okay.
All right, thank
what
you.
What time is that happening?
That's going to be happening from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to old business, and you notice we've got sort of a title called Action Item. Members of the council, you'll see in your packet a quote from Signature Labor of $25,000 to repair Dr. Platt's wall to the point where our logo could be reapplied at some point down the line. This bid has been double-checked by Randy, and it does fall in the ballpark of where the prices are now. That said, I kind of thought we were on somewhat of a hold with this situation due to monies not being quite available in the budget for this year, with the promise that we were going to assist through the grants writer to help if we could down the road. I'm going to ask Mr. Pollitt to bring us up to date as what the current owner and the contractor are asking of you all at this point. So, Rick, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The reason it's on the agenda tonight for action is that I did receive a phone call from Dr. Plack last month, very, very polite, very professional, very kind, just letting us know that he's actively trying to sell his building and that he would like to hear something from the town as to whether we're going to participate in the cost of the repairs of the wall where the logo currently is. So that he can at least figure that as part of his negotiations with a potential buyer. I told him basically where we were, that we had a work session on it. There was a lot of sympathy for helping. We appreciated the fact that the logo has been on the wall for a number of years, and it would be everyone's desire to have it stay on the wall for a number of years, albeit the updated, freshened up, same logo. The council and the mayor had before them the issue of using public taxpayer dollars on private property.
Yeah, right.
And the only reason it would even be feasible would be if you felt there was a public benefit to spending that money to keep the logo there welcoming everyone into town from Route 12. And so that's going to be a judgment call on your part. We do have the numbers identified, as you say, about $25,000 for the brickwork. Another $5,000 to $6,000, possibly more if we need a lift for any length of time, to totally repair the wall and add the logo. So we don't have that kind of money in the budget. John Rankin, our grantsman, has found a potential grant source that would pay for all of that. The problem is it's a competitive bid with the state, won't open up until next year with a decision not until the spring. It would be a real gamble, I think, to put that money up now thinking we're going to get it back. There's certainly not going to be any guarantees. Ideally, I think, if Dr. Platt could wait until the spring and let us try to get this money on his behalf, then that might be a way to accomplish a thing for everybody. I don't know how important having that wall brickwork done is to his sale of the property. But he did ask for some sort of word from the town by the middle of September so that he could count that in his deliberations.
Council, would you like to weigh in?
So he's trying to sell it now?
Yes, ma'am.
He don't want to wait the next year?
It's for sale now.
It's for sale now. So selling it,
I just think that it would be fine to help him with the logo, but I'm not I'm not for spending $25,000 on private property.
Right.
Right.
Councilperson Simpson, your thought?
Did he give you any indication that if we weren't a part of that decision, that he would not keep the logo?
No, ma'am. I don't know if it's deliberate or it's just not on his mind. He has never tried to put it in a quid pro quo situation that we had to help in order to keep the logo.
Okay.
It never came to that part of the conversation.
Yeah. Well, I agree with the painting of the logo also. No, I mean, the only thing is, I mean, it's been on there for a long, long time, and he has never asked us for money in the past as far as advertising the town at all. Is that
That's correct.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Because, ads, you know, you do make money off of ads, and we've never had to put any money in for that before. Okay.
My feeling, and I do not have a vote here, but you know, it is my job as mayor to be a steward of the taxpayers' money, so to speak. I'm all in favor of us coming up with the money down the road to put that logo back at our expense, at our total expense, whether it be $5,000 or $5,500 or whatever. We got a budget preparation time coming up to think about that, to do that. We can paint this logo next spring, next summer, next fall, at whatever cost. That I'm not concerned about. I'm concerned, as Rick has pointed out, that we are sticking our necks out a little bit, taking public money and giving it to a private concern to fix their wall. Now, I know there's an argument that we shouldn't paint the wall until it's fixed, and we agree we're not going to put our logo on it until we know that wall is fixed properly, sealed, and painted with their base coats. But I'm not sure, as much as I love Dr. Platt, and he has, Janet has brought up a great point. All these years we've gotten free advertising, and if we added that up, it may be well more than $25,000. But that's kind of behind us, and I would urge us to be very careful, and I'll support either decision you make, but I think we should be very careful at this time granting him the $25,000 to fix his wall. You know, just hold our breath that he can sell it and that he can find the money to fix it, and then we'll renegotiate with him or the new owner about putting our logo back. But that's my 2 cents worth. So if there's any action to be made, what's your recommendation, Rick, that we not do it, or we do it so I can put it in the form of a motion so they can vote it up or down tonight so he has an answer?
Well, we do not have a proposal to spend $25,000 out of the budget.
Okay. All right.
So anything that would allow to keep the conversation going until such time as we can afford it, I think would be in order.
Okay. All right. So what I'm hearing from you guys is basically hold off on offering him the $25,000, let him try to find that himself, but in the meantime, get John to try to keep working to see if he can find some grant money for him, but that's as far as our extent can go. Is that what I'm hearing from you guys?
Yeah, so if we don't keep the logo on,
that's his,
he hasn't fixed that side of the other building anyway, right?
Right.
On,
oh,
yeah.
On him.
The
brickwork
needs to be done regardless.
Right.
By him, the owner of the building.
Yes. Well, that's the decision that we're going to make, and it sounds like to me we've made it, that we're going to hold off on giving him the money to get his wall fixed, and that can be our action. I don't know if we have to put that in a formal motion or not. I don't know if we have a parliamentarian over here, but... Just an informal show of hands, are we comfortable with not granting him the $25,000 to fix his own wall?
Oh, definitely.
Definitely?
Yes.
Definitely?
Yes.
Definitely. Okay. There it is. Informal, but we've got to take a stand, and we've got to be careful with taxpayer money at this point.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. No, thank you. Thank you. All right. Now, old business update. Black Eyed Susan, that's me. As I promised, I have met with three individuals who have extensive knowledge in steel hull boat operation, maintenance, commercial marine yard, shipyard negotiations, etc. They have each received a copy of the survey done on this vessel just prior to the purchase by a previous administration. They each have agreed to work up a best guess estimate of the monies they would put aside if they owned the boat to maintain it maintenance-wise in a yearly fashion. I will arrange for them to inspect the boat at their convenience and to meet with Randy at his convenience and theirs to gather more pertinent history or talk to Charlie at Mertec to get any other information they want. This will take a little time. One is on his way to Denmark for 2 weeks training. He'll be back the 1st of October. One is now back working his 2 week shift in the Chesapeake Bay running a tugboat. One is retired, owned two trawlers that fished in the ocean for years. He can meet with us immediately, but I want three different opinions so that I can come back with a better range of what it would cost to run that boat. Because if we keep the boat, if it's $100,000, that's where our contract starts with whoever wants to take the boat on and run it. At least that's my thinking. And I don't know what that number is going to be. These three men have tremendous insight and will help me provide to the council and staff the necessary info to assist us in whatever this decision is about this black-eyed Susan, where it goes. But know this, whether that boat ever leaves the dock and it becomes, say, a restaurant or a bed and breakfast, as someone suggested to me yesterday, it's still a boat. And depending on the length and the category, and we don't know these things yet, this is what we're going to try to get to, there may be all kinds of maritime rules and regulations we still have to be responsible to, whether it's moving up and down the river or not. So their cost as well. And we're not going to leave any stone unturned in this investigation. That said, I'm going to go to East Newmarket Saturday on an unrelated trip, and while I'm there, I'm going to go over to Suicide Bridge and see if Mr. Dave Nickerson will be willing to share his insights on how they operate and their monthly or yearly expenses on their two paddle boats that they've been running for years. I'm betting their paddle boats are a little smaller, but they do have two, and they have lots of experience. Mr. Pollitt and I were thinking about going to have lunch there and doing it, but I'm already going to East Newmarket Saturday, so at least I'm going to open that can of worms, and if it's too much that day, I'll get Rick and myself and maybe Randy to go back up there for a meeting with him if he's willing to share his trade secrets. Some business people don't like to tell us their bottom line. But that's where I am right now. I promised you I'd update you. And with that, I want to go to the next, because that's pretty much all I have to report on. I'm not really looking for any questions at this point. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about where the Burley Oak Fire Hall situation may or may not be.
Not much new information. Last month we reported that the Planning Commission did meet and discuss it. As you know, the previous mayor and council asked the Planning Commission to flesh out exactly what kind of an impact having the brewery come to the firehouse would have for town, apply it to the comprehensive plan for the town, the zoning ordinance, to make sure everything was right, come up with questions like what are the demands on the water and sewer system, what are we going to have to do about traffic and deliveries, hours of operation, all of those things. And so the Planning Commission met last month and developed basically a format of the information they wanted Burley to provide. I went back to Burley Oak and explained to them what we were doing and said we'd like to organize a meeting for you to come back now and be prepared for a full presentation. More than what has been done in the past, it's basically been informal talking off the cuff. We'd like to see a real presentation as to what they want to do, what the benefits to the town would be, what they're going to need, expectations, and so forth. I did get a call from Matt Burrier asking about the appraisals that we had done for the property. I shared them with him, and then went for a number of weeks with no contact at all. Tried to reach him last week. As I say, had not received anything until Friday afternoon late, when he did send me a text that he'd been tied up with another event, but that he would call me Monday morning. Since then, as I say, I haven't heard anything from him. Larissa tried to reach out by phone to Mr. Burrier, and she hasn't made contact either. He tells us he's still in the door, and we hope that that's so, and we're going to be able to go forward with this whole discussion. But right now, I don't have anything other to report that we're still trying to make that contact.
Well, I'll reiterate that it's a brilliant idea to run all of this through planning and zoning first, to act as a filter. I like that suggestion from the beginning, and thank you for that, because I know you've had past experience in planning and zoning in other areas. So, and they can be a filter for us. And when they present that to planning and zoning, I'm not sure we should be there because we may have to decide on something later, but a eventually it will come back to us on the floor to make some decisions. And hey, we're not in any hurry to do anything that I know of, so it's if he's the one interested, then my feeling is we'll let him come to us. You guys have done everything you can do. I like the idea. I like the idea. But we know we have to flesh out a lot of things first. Okay, thank you. Any questions from the council or Mr. Pollock on the Burley Oak situation right now as it stands?
No.
Okay. All right. Under new business, we have two things it may require us to take some action tonight on. We have Delmarva Power here to talk about the charging stations, and then we have a report on the safety services agreement that we may have to take action on tonight as well. So, Rick, if you want to introduce or get Lori to introduce our guest.
Yes, I'd like to introduce Jim Smith from Delmarva Power. He's right up front here. Jim approached some time ago now, and I'll let him talk for himself, but they're looking for spaces for electric vehicle charging stations. And he's been looking at Snow Hill, and we went over several potential locations, come up with a plan, and he's here tonight to tell you just what it is he's looking for, where he's settled in, and looking for your support to do that. We do have a right-of-way agreement that Delmarva Power has presented to us. I've sent it through Kevin Karpinski's office. He said it's totally in order.
Okay.
Says if you want to go forward with it, it's perfectly appropriate to sign it.
Okay.
So, Mr. Smith.
Great. Well, thank you, Rick. Thank you very much, and appreciate you letting me be here tonight. Yeah, this is I'm still getting used to electric vehicles. This is, we're plowing new ground, for many years, and we're still focused on electric service reliability and modernizing and rebuilding the system. But, there's a whole new advent in the utility industry across the country, really, with renewables, the electrification, and we're seeing more and more electric vehicles on our highways and byways. The state of Maryland became very proactive a few years ago through the Maryland Public Service Commission, which regulates the electric utilities. And so Delmarva Power and the other regulated utilities are partnering with the Public Service Commission to site what we call a public EV charging program. And that means we're basically partnering with state, county, and municipal partners to site 100 EV chargers on the eastern shore of Maryland with partners just like the town of Snow Hill. And Green Street being a great location. I think you were talking about the finances. I think one of the great things about the program is that there's no cost to the governmental entity, so there's no cost to Snow Hill. Delmarva Power procures the equipment, we take care of the installation, and then Delmarva Power and Light owns, operates, and maintains the EV chargers. There are a few things that we look at when we're siting these types of chargers. Number one, place like Green Street, a public parking lot that's not gated, it's open 24/7. We also look for either a downtown location or maybe somewhere along a highway. So if somebody's diving off to charge, they can plug in. But a downtown location is great as well. Sorry, I've got my back towards these folks. But a downtown location, especially a vibrant one with some of the things that are going on Snow Hill, Green Street is great. The other thing we look for is close proximity to Delmarva Power's electrical infrastructure, to power these. And then, as Rick said, what we do ask for is your permission in the form of a right-of-way or an easement. And it's pretty standard language, much like we would ask for a property owner or government if we were siting a green box or a transformer pole. It's pretty standard language. We're having great success. We've partnered with Worcester County Parks and Recreation. If you go to John Walderson Park, in the rec center, there are some chargers over there that are getting utilization. We partnered with the City of Kokomo. They have some at their farmer's market in town. There are several chargers at the visitor center when you come across the state line that are getting quite a bit of usage. There's even one in Newark Park. There's one in Stockton Park. One of the things we also look for are underserved locations. Somebody asked me the other day, how many are using the one in Stockton Park? I'm like, well, we're not getting a ton of usage right now. But that's more of an underserved area that we felt was a good location. There's three ways that folks that use them can pay for them. You can use the QR code on the charger and download the app right there on your smartphone, pay for it that way. You can use one of those RFID cards that our vendor uses, or you just use a credit card. And it's fairly cheap. It's 18 cents a kilowatt hour, which is about $1.30 an hour. These are level two chargers, and what we're proposing, as you see in the your agenda item, are four level two chargers at Green Street, and it's I can't.
I'm no lawyer. When we grant this right of way, is there a sunset to that? Or if you decide you want to pull out, or we decide we want to pull out, not that that would ever happen, are there ways to do that, or is this done and forever?
That would be as long as the chargers are there. And, you know, it's a five-year program just to install the chargers, you know, because it's taken some time to work with, you know, local municipalities and county governments on just finding the right locations, being mindful of the cost around electricity to service them. But, you know, I would say these chargers, you know, they're getting a lot of usage right now. Some of them are. So I would say at least 5 years, maybe 10 years. And then, you know, if those chargers ever go away or if someone else took, you know, possession of those chargers, we'd certainly work out the, you know, the details on, you know, the easement, and, you know, if we were to continue or someone else was.
And Rick, you said Kevin's on board?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
He looked it over and said, give his approval.
Okay. Council, do you have any questions?
Hmm. Are these taking parking spaces?
Yes.
I mean, like, is that where they are?
Four.
I see a map here.
Yeah,
but
it's
not.
In the Green Street lot, be facing north, I guess. There are four spots that we have proposed. And there would be basically two charging stations, and each one of them, I call them pumps, but each one of them has two chargers. And so they would be, the one charger would straddle the two spots, and another charger would straddle the other two.
Okay.
And the parking spots would have bollards, or the chargers would have bollards around them for safety reasons. And there would be a kind of an imprint, almost like when you see handicap parking, there would be an imprint on the, you know, on the concrete or the asphalt that says for
that
charging.
That says, it,
yeah.
Okay, it designates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four spots.
Four.
Four spots. Now, let me ask you one other question, because I'm not an electrical engineer either. I know it's new technology in a sense. Is that going to, do you see any problems with electrical storms knocking them out or knocking out a grid on that side of town caused by something crazy, or is that just a dumb question to ask?
That's not, no, there's no dumb questions, and I'm not an electrical engineer either, but I've worked in the industry for about 30 years. You know, relatively low usage on those, so it really doesn't have a significant impact on the grid. We're just trying to find access points either via pole or pad mounted transformer. So we're not disturbing a lot of area to either dig or trench. We can just kind of bore a service in, serve them close proximity.
Okay.
Green Street is one of the more perfect locations we've had because there's literally a pole about 25 feet away, and we can hit a meter pedestal and serve them. And so no, there should not be any issues at all.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And when can you get them in? I mean, how fast or?
Once we, you know, pending your approval, mm-hmm. we would immediately shift into engineering this and putting some plans to, you know, construct them. I'd say within 3 to 6 months. We do it as quickly as we can because we're mandated by the commission to site 100 of these. And Snow Hill, even though we had on the John Moore Smith and the rec center, we were just really excited about getting some in downtown. So
okay.
we work as quickly as possible to get those installed.
Okay.
How many do you have out to John Moore Smith?
We have, there are two at John Moore Smith, and there are two at the rec center. And there are three at the visitor center, and I think there are four at the farmer's market in Pocono.
Okay.
Well, if there's no other questions, I'll entertain a motion for us to grant the right-of-way to Delmarva Power for the charging station.
I'll make a motion to grant the right-of-way to the charging station.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion to grant this right-of-way to Delmarva Power and also have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it's passed. We'll sign the documents at the end of the meeting. All right, thank you. And thank you, sir, for your presentation.
Thank
appreciate
you very
it.
Much.
Okay. Now, Rick, bring us up to date on the safety services agreement that we find ourselves facing.
Yes, sir. Actually, we're facing it as a result of some things we did. As you remember, you and I toured the wastewater treatment plant a couple of weeks ago, and I think we were both concerned with some of the potential safety problems we saw. There was not only just grass and weeds, but vines growing across the steps of the ladders going up to several big pieces of equipment in the treatment process, and wouldn't take a lot of imagination to envision somebody tripping over that, falling, and having serious injury. I didn't know if that was indicative of maybe some other problems we might have, not only on that facility, but in some of our other workplace areas. Both when I was in Fruitland and in Crisfield, we contracted with Safety Resources LLC out of Salisbury, who basically specialize in workplace safety. They provide training, whether it's the boxes that keep the pits from caving in when people are working on sewer lines and water lines, to learning how to administer fire apparatus, CPR, things like that. Anything connected with workplace safety, they first do an appraisal, an assessment of the property, pull out the snags that they see are potential hazards, and recommend a compliance if it violates regulations from MOSHA or OSHA, but also telling you what you need to do to make the place safer. They propose an annual contract, and you have that before you. It's not only they're on call 24/7, if anything comes up that we need guidance on. They provide up to so many hours of training, and they gave us two proposals, one for, I think, $4,000 and one for a little more, depending on the amount of training we felt like we wanted. I can tell you that the company is reputable. The owner is considered an expert witness in workplace safety. He goes all around the country testifying about workplace safety. He has programs in Wicomico County, Worcester County, Crisfield and Fruitland, as I said, Hebron. So they know what they're doing. We felt, as I say, I haven't been here that long, but when we were in Fruitland, when I was in Crisfield, we felt that this was a very important step or a service to have in-house to make sure that we were protecting our employees and training them so that we would avoid workplace accidents and expensive litigation that could come if we didn't do things the right way.
Quite frankly, I'm surprised that the institution of itself, we don't have something, we don't already have something in place. I would have thought OSHA or MOSHA or Legit or some of those insurance companies and those regulatory commissions would have insisted that Snow Hill done that a long time ago. What is your recommendation, Rick?
Well, as I say, they've given us two options. One includes 8 hours of safety and compliance training for $4,000 if we pay for it up front. If we pay for it in two installments every 6 months, it's $2,200. So we'll save $400 if we do it all at once. They also included a second option that takes us up to, it doubles the hours of training, 16 hours, and that's either $6,000 annually or $3,300 twice a year. I would suggest that we go with the first option to start, and if we're pleased with them after the first year, then we might want to consider something a little bit more permanent, but I would suggest we try them out for a year and see if we're happy with the training they give us and with what they're able to do and pointing out potential hazards on site, and then just grow from there.
All right, I hear your recommendation. Now here comes the $4,000 question instead of the $64,000 question. Where is that money coming from? Is Lunell on it a little bit, or do you feel comfortable we can pull it from somewhere? Or?
Yes, so we've talked about it in-house, and we feel that an amount such as $4,000 compared to the risk of not doing something like this is such that we should be able to squeeze that money out from someplace in the budget. I can't tell you tonight what line item it would come from. It might just come from savings, where we don't spend as much in one category or another. But in a budget the size of Snow Hills, we're confident we can come up with $4,000 to provide a service that's as important as this is. It could save lives.
How long is this proposal good for? 30 days, 60 days, do we know? Or did I miss it?
I think it's probably good for a while. This is their standard agreement. Even when we talked to him on site, he was saying it would be about $4,000. So I don't think the numbers are going to change.
Okay, here's where I'm going with it. I'm not opposed to this. I think it's probably prudent for all kinds of reasons. I just don't like dropping something on the council right away to spend $2 or $4,000 or whatever the first night it's brought to the table. Is this, with your recommendation, and I'll certainly listen to what you have to say because you've been in these shoes longer than I have, is this something that we could possibly drag out for a work session or two so that you can really identify where the $4,000 may come from? Do we have time to do that, or are we going to lose this bid?
No, we've got plenty of time. I would suggest that you do that and not only talk to the staff about how exactly we're going to pay for it, but invite Mr. Northam to come and give a presentation similar to what Mr. Smith did.
I think so. That's why.
That way he could describe his experiences with you. He's already looked this over once or twice, and he's found two or three things where we are deficient.
Oh, I have no doubt, but yeah.
I think we could do that.
Okay.
And who gets the training? Everyone,
all employees. Depending on what the topic is, those employees that are associated with one particular activity or another.
Okay.
Are there other companies out there that may do more for less, or?
To be honest, I don't know. This is the one that seems to be recognized locally as the go-to company, but we can certainly check that out too.
I might also check with Legit, as you suggested, to just see what programs that they often send messages that talk about safety programs and training, so maybe they provide something, or even a portion of this, or something similar to that.
And this isn't strictly limited to public works. They would look at the police station, they would look at town hall.
Everybody.
They would look at this building, anywhere where the employees are.
The mayor?
Anybody want to stop by your house?
No, just me. Just me.
We've got to keep you healthy.
There we go. Okay, I would ask the council to just consider, let us pull back on this just a tad. I think it's a great idea, it's timely, it's probably overdue.
We need to do
so it fits two of my questions, but where the money's actually going to come from, I'd like us to be a little closer to where that is. I trust Lunell, I trust you, but I think we owe it to the taxpayers again just to do one, you know, just a little bit more time fleshing that out. I trust that it's going to happen, but if we could just wait at least another work session or next month to zero in on this contract.
Absolutely.
If you're okay with that. Counselor, are you all okay with that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, we're at comments from the council.
Again, always thank you for coming out and thank all the department heads and everything. Good job well done to Rick, Mr. Randy, all the rest of it, and Chief. Give Chief Hunt regards, plan for full recovery for him. Missing tonight. Always, our citizens are snug here. We just thank you all for coming out and putting your input in and everything. So, again, thank you.
I feel exactly the same way. Thank you all for coming. And that's why we're here, is because of you folks. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone who came out tonight. I just did see something I wanted to announce about the trash. There is a difference with the trash pickup. And I don't know whether everybody's on Facebook or not, but the eastern part of the town, there were a lot of trash cans out this morning, but the pickup is Wednesday now. It's been changed, and Church Street is the divider, Randy, now, and
part of Church Street is the divider.
Okay.
Where Miss Ann Coates and them live?
Yes.
Riverside and all that anyway, they get that on Tuesdays. Okay? And as soon as we get the truck back, it's going to change back like it will.
Oh, it will.
Yes, this is not, yeah.
This is not.
It's been made very clear.
Okay.
Trucks broke down.
The trucks broke down. It's
okay.
In Baltimore being had to be carried to the shop, the old truck. And we've had to bust it up in 2 days to get it done. So the western side is being picked up on Tuesdays, and the eastern side will be picked up on Wednesdays.
On Wednesdays.
And,
well, so thank you for clearing that up, because people were asking me even today, and I wasn't. I said I had seen it on Facebook, but I don't know that everybody has Facebook, so, okay. And I also want to thank Lunell, since I am the treasurer of the council. She's been sitting with me going over all the financials and where we are, and I want to particularly thank her, and thanks to Dr. Bird for getting us out in the magazine, and good things that are going on in Snow Hill. So thanks again.
I've said enough tonight, so I'm just gonna go right to any comments from the public, if there's anybody who wants to stand up and say anything at this time. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to clarify with what the councilwoman.
Tell everybody who you are and where you live.
Mary Hunting, I'm on West Market Street. And I did just wanna clarify what
could say the east and the west. We have one drill that does Market Street for trash that will start at Bird Park. And we'll come up Market Street, and they're the guys that does the western, the eastern side of town. Okay? The eastern side is going to start here on
so
Church.
So on Wednesday then?
Excuse me?
Because I'm right across from Bird Park.
What I just said was, is the guys that does the eastern side of town,
but I want to wait
which is from
get
Church Street,
trash if I have to
okay,
on Wednesday.
We'll go from Church Street right over here to McDonald's. Okay?
Yeah.
The guys that do that start at Bird Park, okay? And I know Bird Park is not eastern side of town, but the reason that is done is because of the, all the school traffic and all this time of year. We're going by 6 o'clock, 6:30. That way they get all the Market Street done, one crew, even though that is the western side, where you're talking about. That can be done, and I don't have to worry about anybody getting run over as much as it is later in the day. They'll go from there, right over Evergreen Tower and all that. They get all the Market Street. I know that is not, and I know it's confusing. That's like going to Church Street. Part of that, the guys that's doing that same side, they'll get the Kings and all of them. That's considered on the eastern side, that part. But the other guys get the same coaching them on the western side on Tuesday.
It's a puzzle.
Somebody's coming
to
get my trash.
Yes.
It does make a difference.
It does make a difference.
Because I have to put out more. It's not Wednesday. I have to put out more.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Rita. No, I was trying to calm everybody down. No, I'm good.
I had asked, another lady was talking about that, the trash too. And I'm in the Western District, but I'm on the Eastern side of the Western District. And when people think districts, they think my voting district.
Yeah.
You know, so when you say Western, everybody thinks the Western District. But what they're saying is, the western side of the western district. We're on the eastern side of the western district. Okay,
thanks.
Now that's a little more confusing. The next thing, okay. When they're painting a bicycle on a street, what is that saying? Is that saying, welcome bikers here, or the reason I ask is because right through the light, you know, where all the trucks, the lumber trucks and the feed trucks and the chicken trucks, there's a bicycle painted on that street. And all of those big trucks are swinging around there. So I'm saying, why would they paint a bicycle there? Okay, if somebody wants to ride, take a chance and ride there, okay? But why would you invite bicycles with all of that heavy traffic?
That wasn't just done, though, was it? It's been there probably. It's been there for a while. So we can, as from a safety aspect, we can certainly look at that.
We can certainly look at that. Carries all the trucks.
Right. I understand.
And plus, the other thing was one bicycle. What you're saying, you can go through town, but don't come back.
Well, I'm sure the bike committee will take a second look at that, because the whole idea of the bike pathways was to try to make it safer and to get bikes off of the big heavy streets that are state run.
And it was one other thing.
Yes, ma'am.
The vacant building ordinance 2016-01, where is that?
I'll let Rick try to answer that.
It's still hanging with
the planning and zoning department.
Okay.
They're going to clean that up, and they still have some arm wrestling to do on how much and how much teeth and so forth. So that's still in planning and zoning's bailiwick until it comes out to us.
Okay. I think that's all.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Chief.
With the approval of the EV charging station facilities, I'm going to request any applicable fire safety training
Is that feasible?
Yeah, I'll get it.
Great. Good question and good point. Yes, all right, thank you. Any other comments before I, yes, Mr. Creasy?
Getting back to those trucks on Bay Street,
I knew you might say something.
Since I'm stuck here, living there.
I got you.
Some of the cars come by really nice. They slow down, they're going 30 or less, coming and going. Some of them come in flying. We're still having Jake brakes running. Some of them do it at 5 a.m., but them Jake brakes just glaring on. You all don't know what I mean, it's exhaust brakes.
No, and you've said something before about that, and they've not gotten any better?
It would be a little better,
but,
I think.
But still, we could make an improvement? Okay.
But the worst thing is that, I think it's the dusting off from the trucks when they leave. If they don't put the covers back on, when they dump the corn out in the mill, all that dust and bees wings and all is still in that truck bed.
Yeah, right.
If they don't cover it when they come out at 30 or 35 mile an hour, so.
Preaching to the choir, a man sent me a picture of that about 2 weeks ago. So I know what you're dealing with, and we're gonna try to hammer them best we can. Yeah.
One day this past week, my wife and I were coming back in town from Salisbury, and a truck, I guess he left either Snowhill Grain or Tyson.
Yeah.
But he was heading towards Salisbury, along there about where the old Mercer County liquor.
The old Central Umpire. Yeah.
Yeah.
And stuff was blowing everywhere.
I have in the works a meeting with Tyson, and Rick and I, we haven't scheduled it yet, but we're trying to get it scheduled, and that's one of the big things I'm going to talk about, is how they can help us get those, I call them cowboys, the few truck drivers that give everybody else a bad name. Most truck drivers are very good, they're very considerate, and some of the bigger truck companies are covering up and doing better, but I know there's cowboys out there. I still hear them and see them. I was hoping that Jake brakes have slowed down a lot, but apparently they're not. Okay.
I haven't heard that one in the early morning.
Okay.
All right. There's still some coming in.
All right.
And there's no reason to have a Jake brake running at 30 mile an hour.
No, I understand. No, because they're probably not running 30, but I understand that. And Lieutenant will carry this back to the chief, and
yeah.
We'll just try to roll up our sleeves and, you know, take it one trucker at a time and try to make it better. That's all we can do.
Well, last year one time, this guy came in with a truck trailer with his Jake brake. She called Andy.
Yeah.
He went over and found the guy in the middle, and the guy didn't know him, but he was from New Jersey. He brought a little all the way down from Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Which
and
is
now he comes by nice and
quiet.
See, it works. It works.
But he apologized to Andy.
The process works if we just work at it a little bit. All right, I think that's all we have. Anybody else before I adjourn the meeting? Motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion, meeting adjourned. Thank you.